In the name of Jesus, the richest man who ever lived, the Prince of Heaven who became poor for your sake and for mine, dear brothers and sisters of Jesus. In a few minutes, we're going to pass an offering plate around in these pews, and we do it every week. And little kids will put in a dollar or a quarter, and grown-ups will take an envelope with cash or a check in and put it in. And I want you to think, if Jesus were in your pew, well, of course, he is in your pew, right? But like if his physical body was at the end of your pew, what would he do after he handed you the offering plate? Because we might think that he would look away. We've decided that's the polite thing to do, right? And so when I hand somebody the offering plate, when I'm sitting over there, I find something else to look at, right? Find anything else to look at so that they don't think I'm judging them, so they don't think that I'm looking over their shoulder as they give their offering. But Jesus doesn't share our shyness, or at least he didn't. When he was on earth and he went to worship at the temple, he sat down and he watched people while they gave their offering, taking note of how much they put in. And in a few minutes when we pass the offering plate, Jesus will be here too, watching what we put in the offering plate, which makes you wonder why. Why does Jesus care about our money? Why does he watch what we do during the offering? And a close reading of the gospel that Pastor Prevy read from Mark chapter 12, a close reading of that will reveal why Jesus watches our wealth. And as we take a close look, we'll see three things to apply to our own giving. First, Jesus cares about our gift. Second, Jesus doesn't need our money. And third, the gift reveals the heart of the giver. So let's take a look. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." This is the gospel of our Lord. And the first thing we'll notice, if we look careful, is that Jesus cares about our offering. You can tell because he watched them. And if you think it's surprising that Jesus watched people give their offerings, do you know when he did it? He did it on Tuesday before he died. So he dies on a Friday, and 4 days earlier, what's he doing? He's not preaching more sermons. He's not trying to gather more disciples. He's not running around trying to make clear what the message of the cross will be. He did those things too in his final week. But 96 hours before Jesus would hang on the cross to take away the sins of the world, most important day in history, he went to the temple and he sat down and watched them give their offerings. Now, they didn't do like we do. They didn't pass a plate. They collected their offerings the way that we did it last year. So if you remember during the COVID precautions, we had a box set at the entrance of church where you could drop off your offering. And that's what they did in the temple in ancient Jerusalem. They had a box next to the entrance, a couple boxes, and on your way in or out of worship, you could put your money in. Jesus sits down right across from that, and he watched people put their money in. Can you imagine if he did that today? If Jesus walked into our atrium this morning before 8 a.m. church and we were like, "It's Jesus, oh my goodness, you're gonna preach the sermon." And you are all wishing that Jesus preached the sermon instead of me today. Or we'd say, "Jesus, at least teach Bible class or lead us in prayer or something." And what would you do if he said, "No, tell me what's in your offering envelope"? Crazy, right? But that's what Jesus was paying attention to on that Tuesday before he died. It's obvious from this lesson that Jesus cares about our gifts. And that can freak people out because they might think that Jesus or the church is just after our money, which is why it's really important to see what else we learn, that Jesus doesn't need our money. He doesn't need our money. Of course not. You can tell because if Jesus needed our money, then the best gifts in his mind would be the biggest ones, right? The most money, they would get their name in lights or put on a plaque or something like that. But that's not what he says. Remember, there were wealthy people in the temple that day who were giving large amounts. But then there was also the widow who put in two small copper coins. And somebody smarter than me calculated how much are two small copper coins worth back in ancient Jerusalem. And this is what they came up with. They're 1/64 of a denarius. A denarius is what somebody would get, a laborer, a worker would get for one day's work. So it's 1/64 of a laborer's wage. If we pretend that ancient Jerusalem was as affluent as modern America, how much would that be worth today? Well, if a worker makes $15 an hour, works 8 hours a day, that's $120 in one day. 1/64 of that is $1.87. So in today's money, that widow put in $1.87. And what did Jesus say about that woman's offering? This poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. Clearly, Jesus is not after our money, or he wouldn't say the tiny offering was the best. This was the smallest dollar amount, but Jesus said it was the biggest. He must be calculating with something other than dollars. You know, it's still the fact that Jesus doesn't need our money. He doesn't. Of course he doesn't. And there's a good reason why. It's because he already has it. Right? Remember what we said at the beginning of this church service? We said this in the psalm, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, which means your money already belongs to God. If he wants to use it for his kingdom, he will. He doesn't need our money. But if Jesus doesn't need our money, why does he care about our offerings? That's the third thing we learn from watching this account. It's that the gift reveals the heart of the giver. We all know this. If you don't believe me, then this Valentine's Day in a couple months, try this. Instead of taking your sweetheart out for dinner or buying flowers or candy or something, just go outside, gather up as many cool-looking sticks as you can find, and give her a pile of sticks. How's it gonna go over? Well, probably not well, because there's nothing wrong with the sticks, but because that reveals something about the heart of the giver. It doesn't take a lot of effort or a lot of thoughtfulness, and it doesn't really consider what my sweetheart would like if I give her a pile of sticks. But what if a four-year-old child gathered up a bunch of sticks and gave it to his mom on Valentine's Day? Somehow our reaction is a little different to that, isn't it? Because it's not about the gift, but the gift reveals the heart of the giver. And for a little four-year-old heart to say, I want to give mom something and I can go outside and find something to give mom, that's a beautiful, generous, loving heart. It's the same thing with our gifts to God. And so it's noteworthy that when these people were giving their offerings to God, Jesus wasn't preoccupied with the amount of money. He didn't say anything bad about the rich people who put in big offerings. Because a big offering from a person that has worldly wealth, that can be a sign of a generous heart towards God. But then this widow put in her tiny offering. She didn't give the frosting off the top of her cake. She gave her daily bread. Jesus said it was all she had to live on. What does that reveal about her heart? Well, it revealed that she trusted God enough to take care of her, even if she didn't know where her next meal was coming from. It revealed about her heart that she loved God more than she loved a full belly, and she loved God more than she loved herself, more than her own life. The widow's gift revealed that she loved and she trusted in God to take care of her. So what do your gifts to God, what do my gifts to God reveal about our hearts? I don't know about you, because around here, pastors have no idea what each person puts in the offering plate. We've got awesome volunteers and some financial people who handle that stuff for us. I don't know what you put in the offering plate and what it reveals about your heart, but Jesus does, and so do you. If you're a member of our church, this week you received a little email or maybe a little note in your mailbox that looks like that. It's an offering statement. It's a record of what you've given to God's church here at Mount Olive over the past 9 months. And you also maybe got, if you're a member here and we have your email address, you maybe got a little worksheet with questions that help you think through what you've given and what it means about your heart. Those are ways that you can start to assess, what do my gifts say about my heart? What do they reveal about me? I don't know about your gifts, but I do know something about your heart, because it's just like mine. We share this, that our hearts are infected with selfishness. I am hardwired to think that my needs come first, and even sometimes my wants come first. Or maybe the needs and wants of my kid, but so often God comes third or fourth or sixth. And that reveals the selfishness in my heart. If you could take a look at my bank account, if you could take a look at my calendar, if you could take a look at what's in my heart, you'd see evidence that I'm selfish. And if I took a look at yours, I'd see the same. Not that every purchase that's for me is sinful, but you'd see evidence of our selfishness. But somehow this is not the most important question for us to ask today, is it? What does your gift reveal about your heart? Is not the most important question, even about your offerings. The most important question is this: what does God's gift reveal about his heart? Here's what 2 Corinthians chapter 8 says about God's gift to us. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Jesus was not like that widow in the temple. He was the richest person who ever lived. He owned everything. Remember what we said? The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And so Jesus, Prince of Heaven, lived up there. He had everything at his disposal, perfect relationship with his father, perfect life, and yet he did like that widow, and he gave everything up. He gave up his all, his very life, for you. Try to imagine what Jesus felt like, because he was the Prince of Heaven when he was crammed into the uterus of the Virgin Mary. Try to imagine the feeling in God's heart as he looks down and sees his one and only son, the one he loves, laying in scratchy hay in a manger. Try and imagine what was going through the mind of God as on the cross, God the Father abandons God the Son and their perfect relationship was shattered. God gave up everything. The Father gave up his Son. The Son gave up his life for you and for me. What does God's gift reveal about his heart? So often people try to ascertain God's love for them by saying, how much money has God given me? Which is crazy, because that's not how God shows his love. Or how many of my dreams have been fulfilled? Which is crazy, because God never promised to fulfill our dreams. But what is God's gift, the one he did give us? What does it tell us about his heart? Well, there is no question in the world that God's heart towards you is love and grace and forgiveness. He loves you more than anything in the world because he gave up his whole world for you. And get this, every single time a human being starts to know how God feels about them, it radically changes the way they give. Example, little boy in the New Testament. He didn't have much. He had two fish and a few loaves of bread. He was really excited to eat that. That's what he brought from home for lunch. And then he met Jesus up close and personal. And he got to know God's love in his life. And he gave his lunch away. It's a little man, short man, living large off of ill-gotten gains. His name was Zacchaeus. And then he met Jesus up close and personal. And he got to know how much God loved him. And he gave away half his stuff. This poor little widow knew her God up close and personal, knew that he would take care of her, knew that he loved her. And so she gave away everything, all she had to live on. Every time a person gets to know God's heart for them, It radically changes how they give. And you need to know first and foremost God's heart towards you, how much he loves you. The opposite of that is why sometimes it's really tough to give our money away to a homeless stranger. If you felt this is like the opposite of giving to God. So if you've ever encountered a stranger holding a sign that says, homeless, please help. It's hard to give money to that person sometimes because we don't know what's in their heart. We don't know what they're gonna do. We don't know what their life is about. And we have no relationship with them. And if that's how it feels for you to give money to Jesus, then step one is not to fork over more money. Step one is to get to know Jesus up close and personal. Read the stories God wrote about him in the Bible. Talk about him with Christian friends. Get in a Bible study. Get to know how much God loves you, what he's done for you. And that will radically change the way you feel about giving. But I'm looking around the sanctuary and I know the people at our church well enough to know so many of you already know God's heart towards you. And so maybe the question for today for some of us is, how do we reveal what's in our heart, our love for God, with our gifts to him? Can I make a suggestion? It's just a suggestion, but consider 10% of your income giving to church. It's what Christians call tithing, and it's been popular for a long time. In fact, God used to require it back before Jesus, but he doesn't anymore. Jesus did indicate it's a good idea, it's a helpful way to think about giving. And maybe the mental exercise for you and me to think about what would it look like for me to give 10% of my income, maybe that helps us understand what our gifts reveal about our hearts. Now, there are people in our congregation, if they gave 10% of their income, they wouldn't have anything to eat this week. Okay, in that case, maybe 3% or 5% shows a generous, loving heart towards the God who loved them. But there are people in our church who could give away 30 or 50% of their money and they'd still have plenty to live on. Well, here's what we know. Jesus cares about your gift, and he doesn't need your money. But our gifts reveal what's in our hearts towards God. When you give a gift from the heart, one that you really care about, maybe you've done this at Christmas, you give somebody a gift that you are excited about, it is so fun to watch them open it, isn't it? And it's not just fun to watch them open it, but you love if you come back to their house like 2 weeks later and they're using the gift you gave them. They're playing with it or using it in the kitchen or whatever. That's really fun with Jesus too. Have you ever, remember what Jesus did with that little boy's lunch when he gave it to him? What did Jesus do with the bread and the fish? He multiplied it times thousands and thousands. That's what Jesus is doing with our gifts to him too. He's multiplying our money. Not into necessarily more money, but he is using our money to teach little kids who can barely walk, can't even talk, teach them that Jesus loves them. He's using our money to take the gospel that has changed our world to a different part of the world so it might change a foreign country or change the hearts of the people there. God uses your money and mine to help other people know what you know. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And that's the most important thing to know. Amen. Please stand.
Hey, thank you so much for spending some time with us and worshiping with us online today. We are so glad you fed your faith through the work of Mount Olive, and we'd love to know that you fed your faith. So head on over to MountOliveAppleton.com and click the online friendship register, or just click the link in the description here. It takes about 1 minute to fill out. Thanks so much for spending time with us. God's blessings on your day.